Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, yesterday we had choir rehearsal, but now we can sing it for real. Come on, help us sing this song. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, everybody.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
Y'all been practicing. I won't fear.
I won't fear.
I'm filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
Thank you, Jesus. My cup overflowing.
Right there.
He always guides me.
He always guides me.
Through mountains and valleys.
Through mountains and valleys.
His joy is refreshing.
His joy is
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am not alone. The Lord is with me wherever I may go, wherever I may be. He is with me. He is the Lord that is everywhere. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Faith Ambassadors, Staying on Purpose, Power, Hour of Power. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank God for each and every one of you tuning in tonight. We thank God that you have chosen to take time out of your busy schedule to hear what thus said the Lord. The word of the Lord is powerful. It is quicker than any two-edged sword. And we thank God that it is doing a work in us. If you would, people of God, go ahead and invite someone, invite someone, invite someone. Post on your social media. Let's get people on the line to hear what thus said the Lord. Let's get people on the line that need a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord is not always just one-on-one prophetic. We can receive a revelation for our situation through the word of God, the teach and preach word of God. I am Pastor Felicia Dotson, your host for tonight, and I love you and I thank God for you. The scripture reading for tonight is going to come from Psalm, the 18th chapter, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Beginning at the 19th verse, it reads, "He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He restored me because of my innocence. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not turned from my God to follow evil. I have followed all his regulations. I have never abandoned his decrees. I am blameless before God. I have kept myself from sin. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He has seen my innocence." The word of the Lord is already blessed. May the hearers become doers and be blessed as well. Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy and your grace. Father, forgive us of every sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we repent. And God, we turn away from sin. God, help us not to offend you, not to transgress and continue in sin and iniquity before you. For it is against you that we sin and iniquity and transgress. God, our hearts are to please you. Our hearts are to do your will. Our hearts are to be loved and love you. We thank you tonight for this opportunity to be in your presence. Holy Spirit, have your way, not like the last time, but like never before. Move on your people. Move on this line. Father, we thank you for those that are coming in from other countries. We thank you for those that are listening by computer, by phone, God, in their homes, on their jobs, wherever they are, God, we thank you for them. Now, Lord, as you speak a word through your servant, God, I pray that it will be healing to some. It will be deliverance to others. It will be answers to others. But most of all, God, it will be a refreshing. It will be a seed. It will be water. It will be sunshine. The words that you have already spoken to your people, God, that it will spring forth much fruit in its due season in the name of Jesus. God, someone stands in the need, and God, you are the supplier of every need. Before this broadcast ends, God, I pray that you would meet the need in the name of Jesus. Your word says we have not because we ask not. And Father, for those who ask, won't ask, God, I ask for them on their behalf. I stand in the gap tonight that you will be the provider, the Jehovah Jireh that I know you to be, God. You be whatever it is they stand in need of, encouragement, inspiration, God, love, peace, joy, and understanding. God, financial breakthrough in the name of Jesus. God, that seeds and money and favor would come out of where you send it from, that they would see their yes and receive their yes, no matter who or where it is coming from. We bless you and we thank you. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' matchless name, we thank you, Father. Amen. People of God, again, invite someone, text someone, call someone, join you on the line, post on your social media that there is a word from the Lord. Deacon Tony, if we can have 1 minute of a song, and then we're going to come back with question of the day.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place.
Doesn't belong to anyone else but you, God. And we thank you. Hallelujah. People of God, I'm going to ask a special request of you. If you would bless Chief Apostle, he labors before the Lord for us constantly, consistently in prayer. He labors with us in our situations, in our problems, speaking the word to us. And I'm going to ask that you bless him tonight. This Cash App is $Sign, R-D-A-N-I-E-L-C, R Daniel C. $Sign, R-D-A-N-I-E-L-C. Bless him tonight. Let the man of God know that you appreciate him. No, he did not ask me to ask you to do this. I want to, because he is the man of God that labors before the Lord for us. And he is worthy of so much more, but he's definitely worthy of his highest. Chief Apostle. Can you hear me?
Mute Ministry is going on. How are you?
I am well. I am well.
Good.
Praise God. All right. Well, I was ready. All right, here we go. It says, Apostle, how am I supposed to trust any pastor after seeing so much mess and messiness in churches?
How am I supposed to trust any pastor after seeing so much? I think that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I'll answer it this way. The prodigal son had everything that he needed. He decides to leave his father, leave his home. He comes back. His father sees him a ways off. He goes out and he does all these kinds of things that he should not do. But when he came back, he didn't come back to his brothers. He came back to his father.
Mm-hmm.
And when we deal with church, we're not dealing with our outlook or our viewpoints or any of that. We're looking at what is the Father saying and what is the Father requiring of me and what does the Father want from me. I'm going to say something very difficult, and most people under the sound of my voice tonight, I don't know how many are on, and I don't know how many letters I'm going to get after this, but I'm going to say this. most churches are not following God anyway. They believe that they are, but if their churches are not built on the Constitution and the ground which Jesus laid for his church, then everything else about the church is irrelevant. Except the Lord built the house, they that labor build it in vain. So the reason that you have so much mess in churches is because you have so many entertainers operating the churches. Because of these entertainers, they know how to entertain. But because the word has not engrafted in them, the word has not taken hold of them, the word has not changed them, they've gotten some ideology from the scriptures, and they have gotten enough from the scriptures to be able to win the euphoria of the moment, the emotion of the moment, the opportunity to mix and match with people. They've marketed you. And most churches are simply entertainment centers that when Jesus comes back, he's not going to even recognize. So when you start talking about following these kinds of churches versus another church of the living God, the Church of Christ, when you start dealing with his church, now, you're not going to find these things. You're not going to find messiness. You're not going to find a whole lot of rules. You're not going to find a lot of things that you would find in religious branches. I'm going to say this to you. This is going to be very difficult. I know I'm going to get a lot of letters. God never called us to religion. He never told us to follow a religion. He never told us that religion was okay. He never told us that religion was the key to the kingdom of God. He never told us that religion had anything to do with the Holy Spirit. He never told us any of the things that we learn in the Baptist church, we learn in the Apostolic church. We have used faith charismatically in order to win people to give us stuff, to control them. But we have not been before the presence of God to the place where our lives, our whole mindset becomes the temple of God, and we become so churchy that we are no spiritually good. So when you start talking and comparing yourself religiously to other people, you know, you're always going to have issues anyway. But when you begin to follow Christ and follow his servant, you're going to find an entirely different viewpoint of the scripture. You're going to find a different way that God has intended for his people. And it's not going to be the same entertainment center that you grew up and you were accustomed to. And the reason you can know this to be a fact is because you're going to have pastors who've never even been taught the kingdom of God. Listen, I'm gonna tell you another truth. I'm gonna lose a thousand people with this one. The very people who believe in religion on a certain level, I hate to even say it that way, you can be so messed up on religion that you are not even saved. You can follow your pastor and believe he's a king. But if your pastor is a king and not a priest, something's wrong. But watch this. I'm gonna give you this too. If you are not a king or a queen and a priest, something's wrong. And then worse than that, if you don't know what God means when he represents a king or a queen, then you're again wrong. Most of us, this is how we get twisted, because we think that the first step is the last step. We think that if I get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, I got everything I need. I agree. But if you get saved and you become a part of a church that only teaches a part of the scripture, you're not fully invested in the kingdom of God. If your pastor doesn't teach you the government of God, because Jesus didn't, he said, if we went into Isaiah, he said, what was going to rest on his shoulder? Did he say the holiness church? Did he say the apostolic church? Did he say the Pentecostal church? Did he say the Baptist church, the Presbyterian church? Did he say any of these churches would rest on his shoulders? No, he said the government would rest on his shoulders. The ability to govern his people. So when you start talking about following Christ and you start twisting that up with all these things and rituals that we do in the name of Christ, now what you've done was you have allowed something to control your mind outside of God. When you start living your life and you say, well, I live my life like this because this is the way that the church told me to do it, God forbid. But if I live my life according to the word of God and I stand on the standard of God and I study the word of God for myself, your pastor is not going to be able to do anything to you or against you anyway. And his messiness is he's going to get out of there. I have been warned so much in the last month. Prophet Stephanie here, she's been telling me so much about how important it is in this season right now, how urgent it is for the people of God, for the pastors of God, to know that exposure time is among us. We are in a serious time. So I want you to understand, and I don't take that lightly, and for all my pastors and colleagues in the gospel, I don't want you to take that lightly. What the woman of God is speaking of is a terrible judgment in operation that has already been set against leaders in these so-called churches. Now, listen, I got churches. I got old churches. This is my fifth church. You are my fifth church. So it's not that I oppose churches. I oppose any place that is not standing on the standards of the kingdom of God. That's what I oppose. I don't care, you know, what you call yourself. So it really, as you go to Bible school, they teach you soteriology, they teach you all of the marketing tools. All of the marketing tools. Soteriology being the study of salvation, they teach you that. Then they teach you faith. And they teach you soteriology so that you can cause people to come and join you. And then they teach you faith so that you can teach those people how to believe in you. Because you have two types of faith. You have, and Jesus warned us of this now. Let's get this right. Because Jesus told him, he said, I believe in Matthew 6, he said, when you start looking at this thing, he said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what kind of, don't worry about these natural things. Worry about the kingdom of God. He said, put first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. You're going to have all the things that you want if you are living by the standards of the kingdom of God. So what you're calling and asking my people to ask me, you're telling them to ask me about something that doesn't even really exist. You're trying to ask me, because you're talking about messy churches. Jesus is not even in that church. He's not in that church. So you're asking me to ask, asking me questions about something that is not even recognized in the kingdom of God. And you can't recognize everything. I don't even like to use words like everybody, everything, anybody. I don't like to use generalities. And the reason why is because these words group people together. Every man I've been with has done this to me. Every woman I've ever been with was a cheater. Listen, when you begin to live by the standards of the kingdom of God, there is absolutely no way you're going to be comfortable in any of these things that are wrong. You're going to see it. You're going to know it. You're going to, you know, you're going to recognize it. You're going to recognize the pastor with a wife in the front row and a girlfriend in the third row. You're going to be able to see it in the spirit realm so easily. It's not because of who you really are. If I had real time, I would teach on the difference between your king authority and your priest authority, because every one of us have it. Every one of us has it. Now, I'm anointed. But guess what? The anointing destroys yokes. I get it. I get that understanding. But my gifts and callings are without repentance. So you got a lot of messy pastors because when they were called, they had an opportunity. Many are called, but few are chosen. So you got a lot of people who were called, but not chosen. They went, but they didn't go because they were anointed. They didn't go because they had a gift. Listen, I'm going to say this to you. Don't get mad at me. I know I'm getting all kind of letters. But let's look at what it's look. Ask Madonna or Beyonce or Jay-Z or any of them how to bring a crowd. And they will tell you the same things that some of these leaders that we call pastors will tell you. If everybody was serving the same faith, we would all be a part of the kingdom of God. But guess what? Let me say this to you, because I don't want to mess up something, because I'm speaking contradiction. The only faith is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not a religion. It's a government. So if I'm a part of a government, you're saying, well, how do you be a part of a government and you're a United States citizen? I'm a United States citizen by birth, but that's not where my king sits. So I'm a dual citizen. I'm not just a citizen of the United States. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God that lives in the United States. There are citizens of the kingdom on this broadcast right now in Russia, in Africa. They're listening from all types of time zones. Hawaii, they're listening right now from all types of time zones. We are kingdom citizens. We are under the government of the kingdom of God. We're not church members. And the reason why so many people are messed up, now sure, we've got thousands of people on our church rolls. I'm not worried about them. My position with that is that these are the people that God has called to help in rising up this government, period. So I encourage you, man, to find a kingdom church. There are kingdom churches. There are kingdom churches that are doing kingdom things under a kingdom authority. And I hope that you can find one of these churches. And I'm also going to say this. A lot of times the very people that are judging and looking at things that are happening, and you're saying, I won't go to this church because the church over there is doing this and that. Those are generally the messy people. Because you're the judgmental people, and you're looking down, and now you have judged the entire body of Christ and all of the pastors. But you're listening to me. You're listening to me. What am I in a safe zone because I'm on radio and television? Does that make me a better pastor? That don't make me a better pastor. That's just one of the churches that I pastor is the world. So I encourage you to find you a ministry that's serving God, serving the community, going out and doing more than just funerals, doing more than laying people in the grave. Find you a church that's doing kingdom things, and I'm sure your experience there will be better. Many a times we are going to learn that God is going to judge so much the stuff that we're doing, and we're going to stand before him, and he's going to say, when did I tell you to do any of that? When did I tell you to do any of that? Amen. So we thank the Lord tonight for each and every one of you. Pastor, do you have anything that you needed to say on that? I know I probably took about 20 minutes of time to do it.
No, it's interesting. This question came up. I was just talking to someone about quote unquote church and the body of Christ and the believer, and how we all have different teachings from the same word of God. And when you were touching on religion, that's one of the big things when I was coming up in ministry, took me to James, the first chapter, the 26th verse that says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Amen.
The other side of it is, whomever the person may be, again, coming up in the church and in the body of Christ, I would see things that, and I finally got to the point where I was like, okay, God, why do you keep letting me see this? What am I supposed to do with this? There's a reason you want me to see this, because one, not everybody is seeing this. Two, I'm sure somebody before me saw it. So what is it that you, God, want me to do with this or about this, if anything? And two things that I heard in my spirit is, learn from it what not to do.
For sure.
When I take you to various places, positions, in life, and then learn what to teach and how to teach others what not to do, but be mindful of the manifestation of spiritual things in natural form, and keeping yourself, like the word of God said, unspotted from the world. Don't let your good be evil spoken of, because it could be a reflection of what you could become if you keep down a certain path. It could be what you're seeing is something that you may have to minister or counsel someone on later on down the line. So it's important that you take that thing, that mess, whatever that situation that you are seeing before God, and then God may give you permission by his word, through his word, to address it and give that person, for those persons, an opportunity by use of you to minister to them that, hey, the word of God says this, and we need to bring this to a halt. This is what God is saying, because he's showing it to me. So I pray that you not be discouraged. I pray that you be the church, and not just observe the church, and that you strive to work out your own soul salvation and be the example that others can model themselves after in the kingdom and in the body of Christ.
That's right. Let's look at some scriptures. I thank God for you. I thank God for that good advice you gave him, Pastor. Let's go to the Word of God and try to make this a little bit more clear on what God is looking for, what God is doing. Go with me to Matthew 15, and we're going to deal with a few scriptures here. Father, bless your people. Bless this word. Let your people hear it and understand it and grow from it. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 1, we'll start there because I'm just now getting this download. So let's work on this. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? We'll stop right there. Why do you transgress the commandment of God? So you have all of these rituals that they have to be, your hands have to be washed a certain way. And Jesus addressed this in Acts chapter 1, because when he came back, they were getting ready to go down a religious path, and he came back and told, he tried to straighten them out. And Paul later understood the message of the kingdom, even though he was government. He was from a government background and understanding. But as he learned, he learned the kingdom's principles instead of from religious principles. Whereas Peter was more in the religious sense when he was moving in the sense of what you can't eat and where you can't go and how you have to wash your hands and the systems or the systematic understanding of the Jews, and he had that, and it was amazing time because under this time frame, you've got Jews and you've got people becoming Christian with a Jewish mentality, and the Holy Ghost told me to do this, and I don't want to do anything that contrary, so somebody needs to hear this. When I got saved in the Holiness Church. My first church was a Baptist church in Meridian, Mississippi. I was definitely a religious person. I was under the traditions of religion. I went to church every Sunday, blah, blah, blah. I did the communion first Sunday of the month. I did a lot of things that I still wear my robes and all of that. And so there is some religion that I keep. But what controlled my mind at that time was the fact of how I was raised up. So being raised up in a holiness church, I believed that my behavior was more important in holiness than my faith. So then when I moved into a Baptist church, I began to understand, and I was the assistant pastor of the church. The pastor got himself in some issues with pills. He was addicted to pills. He left the church, and he just left. So I was stuck with the church. In a real essence, I was really only visiting the church, and it was the church that I was stationed at the time, and I was really only visiting the church. And the pastor began to recognize me as the assistant pastor of the church, ordained me as the assistant pastor of the church, and then he left. I mean, I'm talking about from one Sunday to the next Sunday, he was gone. So then after that, I went to, I was in Norfolk, Virginia. I went to school in Norfolk, and I was in the Navy, so I went to school in Norfolk, Virginia, at Norfolk State University. And while I was at the same time beginning a church that was a campus ministry, and we called it the Sword of Light Ministries. At that time, I was... the church had grown. When I first opened up the church, the first Sunday that we got there, nobody came. I went to the homeless shelter. I found 12 people. And I said to them, I said, because I was looking at the scripture, compel men to come. So I went and got steaks and hot dogs from Murray's Steaks. And I told them, I said, whoever comes to church, I'm gonna feed you steaks and hot dogs. Every Sunday, I would buy a box of steaks and a box of hot dogs, and we would cook steaks and hot dogs for the people. This is going to be very important in a moment. my traditions did not necessarily teach me that this path or any path was God's path. As a pastor, all I knew was to preach to people. Preaching to people was the most important thing that I was doing at that time in my understanding. Preaching to people. I was doing revivals. I am known that one of my primary gifts is long-term revivals. I've come to church for one service. I'm sorry. I get to church for one service and end up there for 300 days, 200 days, the average 30, 40, 50 days, three times a day we're holding service. So the word of God was in me. Now, what was in me more was tradition. Now, this is where it gets important. I then come to a different approach of Scripture. At that time, I was leading my life by the word of God in Ephesians 3:20, where it said, "God, for God will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to." So I'm living by that. So as I'm living by that, I'm living under a standard of what I thought that scripture meant. Now I'm speaking in tongues, I'm prophesying all around the country, I'm ministering all around the country, I'm 26 years old, I've got 800 members in the church. Now, I don't even know what God is saying, I don't know what God is doing, other than what he's saying to me for the person in front of me. At some point, I evolved. I'm going to show you how this happened. I came in contact with Matthew 25. We're going to go there in a moment. In fact, let's go ahead over there now. I came in contact with Matthew 25. And when I came in contact with that scripture, this scripture, and we're going to go over here in a shortly. But at that time, I had such a desire to please God that I was preaching everything. So I was preaching that the Sabbath was right. I was preaching the first day was right. I was preaching every possible thing that I could understand in order to preach the kingdom of or religion. I didn't know. Somehow I skipped over the government. Somehow I skipped over all of the times in the scripture where Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. I skipped over why John was the most important prophet to ever live. The reason John was the most important prophet to ever live was because he prophesied in two time zones, two testaments. He prophesied on one testament of the old prophets, the patriarchs in the Old Testament. And then he was prophesying again under a New Testament and prophets that never were seen again or before. So here I am coming into this information. And it comes to me in Matthew 25. Let's go over here. Matthew 25. We're going to get back over to Matthew 15 in a moment. Go with me to verse 31, and this changed my life. Matthew 25 and 31. Up until this time, I was a religious zealot. I wasn't a kingdom citizen. I wasn't a Christian by the standards of the Word of God. I was preaching to people. I was rightfully ordained. I was rightfully before the people. And I did what Bishop Jakes told me to do. I did what Rob Parsley told me to do. I did what all these people were telling me to do. But then I came in contact with this word. And when I came in contact with this word, I immediately got on my face. One night I was before the Lord. I was getting ready to preach it in Detroit at a church. And I was before the Lord, and the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. And he said, "What do you have?" He said, "What do you have on?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "Go put on your best suit." So I put on my best suit, and he said to me, he said, "What do you have on now?" And I said, "Lord, I said, I have on my teal green suit." He said, "Go wash your face." I washed my face. The Lord said, he said, "Now what do you see?" I said, I have my teal green suit on. He said, "What do you see?" I said, "I see my suit, Lord. I see me." He said, "As long as you see me, you will never see me." Then he opens up this scripture to me. Matthew 25. Let's start at verse 31, and I'm not going to hold you long tonight. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory," pay attention, "and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." He's coming back. He's going to sit upon the throne of his glory. Watch what he says. "And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall say," then watch this. Pay attention to these commas and all this stuff here. "They shall gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." He's going to divide them. And this is what Stephanie's been talking about. He's going to divide them, one from the other. All right? And let's look at what he says. He says, "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father." Pay attention to this. Don't just read it, pass over it. Let it read from it and understand what it says. He said, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." When those words were spoken into my spirit, I realized then that religion was wrong. I realized that no matter how I said it, I realized that when the separation comes, he's not going to separate the Pentecostals from the Baptists. He's going to separate his people from all other nations. And he is going to stand on the principles that he sits as the governor. He's going to sit on his throne, and he's going to speak to us, and he's not going to speak to us based on what church you go to. He's not going to speak to us and say, well, the PAW is right, and Church of God in Christ is right, and the church down the street that y'all don't speak to is right. When he comes, he's sitting on his throne, and he is going to divide the sheep from the goat. You know what a goat is? A goat will take a sheep. Let me help you with this. A goat will take a sheep, and he will lead the sheep. He will prod the sheep. Every shepherder has a goat, because the goat is going to lead the sheep to the slaughter. The goat will pretend that he's a sheep. The goat will sleep with the sheep. The goat will prod the sheep. And one day, the goat will lead that sheep into a trap door. And when he goes in, the sheep will be slaughtered. So when we start talking about the sheep from the goat. We're talking about the ones that look like sheep. But in reality, they're not the sheep of the kingdom of God. Now, this gets difficult because now we're talking about what he's saying here, and this is difficult scripture for everybody that's not in the kingdom. So this is where your salvation should take you. Your salvation should take you to the place where you say, it's not religion I'm wanting, it is God that I want. And what God is doing for me requires for me to do what God's word requires me to do. The word, that's why the word of God don't have rules in it. The word of God don't have rules. The word of God don't give you rules. The Bible says we got 10 rules in the scripture. We call them the 10 commandments. And the 10 commandments are, I'm the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. He never changed that. With his own finger he wrote it. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or on the earth beneath. So where in these churches do we have the right, based on scripture now, do we have the right to make all these pictures of angels, and we have the right to do all of these things that we do in churches? And I know my friends on the line, they should be used to me if they've been talking to me. But if who told you to put that picture of an angel or that picture of Jesus, that picture of a white Jesus, that picture of a black Jesus? Who told you to put that picture up there? Because that's not what the Bible teaches us. So when you begin to live by the whole gospel, the full gospel, you cannot live by division, because you are divided only because you are a kingdom citizen versus a religious citizen. As a kingdom citizen, I operate under the government of God. As a religious citizen, I operate under the government of my church. And if my church is an occult church, I know it's an occult church because it don't serve the body of Christ. It don't serve the people in the world. She just read to you what religion, pure religion is before God. Pure religion before God don't have anything to do with you going to church every Sunday. Pure religion before God is how you take care of the people of God. That you live a pure life, that you do things according to the word of God, that you watch the widow. But the thing we call religion is automatically defiled because we think that religion is, I go up there, I shake the pastor's hand, and now, so who is your king? Is it the pastor or is it God? Did the pastor determine or the deacon's board determine you were saved? I'm going to tell you a good experience I had when I was coming up. Again, I was coming up in the Holiness Church. So they made us tarry to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get a lot of letters. So they made us tarry to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something that happened in that tarry, and I'm going to tell you what happened in that. While I was tarrying, I was transitioning from something that it was in the spirit realm that was not in the natural realm. But I could not control the side of it that was spiritual, and my language changed. Do I believe that everybody goes through that experience? No. Do I believe it's a good experience? Yes. Do I believe it's a necessary experience? I believe that when you have the Holy Ghost, your life is going to cause others to follow after Christ. In John chapter 14, he told us what the Holy Ghost would do for us. All right? So the Holy Ghost is not here to get you to the things. John said, I would heaven that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The things are going to come. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. Because God desires, God wants to give you what? The desires of your heart. So what has made it difficult for us as believers is not that the believing part, and I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to get a lot of letters. Only God can inspire you to be saved. If you inspire you to be saved, you're not really saved. You can't even be taught how to be saved if God didn't put it in your heart for you to be saved. Now, you could be raised up in a church and you could have been taught the traditions of the church. That don't mean you saved. What makes you saved is that God enlightened your heart. Can I go to Hebrews chapter 6 real quick? Because I'm going to show you that most people who think they're saved, they're not even saved. Let's fix this through the word of God, through the word of God only. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. I know the letters are coming. Don't worry about it. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So I got saved. Now let's work it. Not laying again the foundations of repentance from the dead works and the faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism, of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do. These are all religious things that we will do, if God permits. Now watch this. This is where it gets a little heavy. For it is impossible for those who were once what? Enlightened. The entirety of your salvation begins with the enlightenment. God enlightened your heart. He spoke into your spirit. It didn't matter whether you were in a Baptist church, Apostolic church, Methodist church, Presbyterian church, Eucharistic church, whatever. He spoke into your spirit and you received it. You could have been Jehovah's Witness. You could have been Muslim. You could have been any of these things. But when he spoke into your spirit, he enlightened you. Now let's look at what he did after that. He said, for it is impossible for those who were not many. He didn't say you were enlightened 50 times. You were once enlightened. He gave this to you one time. Now let's look at what happened. And have tasted of the heavenly gift. The next part of your waking up, the next part of your moving in the spirit of Christ is that you have tasted of the heavenly gift. You've tasted of the spirit of God. And let's look at what he said. So I've been enlightened, and then I've tasted the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost. Partakers of the Holy Ghost. I operated in the Holy Ghost. I heard from the Spirit of God. I heard what God spoke, and I began to do what God said. If I went into Hebrew John chapter 14, you might be surprised to find out exactly what the Holy Ghost's job is. He is to lead you and guide you in all truth. Then in Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us what truth he will lead you to. In chapter 5 and 6 of Ephesians. So I want you to understand. So now I've gone through the third process of salvation, which is I have been a partaker of the Holy Ghost. Now it gets a little heavy. And have tasted the good word of God. So now I have gone beyond hearing from preachers. I have heard from God himself through the Holy Ghost. I've come in contact with the word of God and the pastor. He might have been preaching, but it was only one word in the sermon that spoke into my spirit. It was one thing that was said to rejuvenate my soul. The preacher was up there preaching for his standard 17, 18 minutes, but it was something that was spoken in the spirit that I received. Let's look at what he said. Have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Remember, you're part of an army. You're part of something bigger than just, and listen, because I want to talk to somebody tonight, because so many people under the sound of my voice are saying, God, what do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to go? God, how do you want me to be? God, is this the husband? God, is this the wife? God, is this the church? God, what else am I supposed to do? And he's saying, I want you to do what I want you to do. Let's look at what he said. He said here, and the powers of the world to come. And let's look at what he said in verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. These are individuals who really know Christ. That's why they can't leave him. That's why all the time I done fell short. The reason I ain't left God is because there's something in me that won't let me leave him. No matter how much trouble I've been in, no matter what I've done, I can't go nowhere. Because it's in me to be a part of him. So that's how you stand and know these six things determine if you're saved. Now, once you have gathered that, you become a kingdom citizen, because you can have this part of salvation. You can have the first part. You believe God. You've been enlightened. You believe God by his word, and you don't go no further. You might have even the third part. You've seen the power of God. You don't go no further. So God is saying that in order for you to get what he really got for you, you have got to go into this part here, which is the kingdom, which is what Jesus taught. How are you going to follow Christ and you don't even know what he taught? You understand that you got to be saved, but you don't understand what his message was. How many times do we approach believers who say, I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and they don't know much more than that? How many people don't understand whether Jesus is alive or not? Hold on. He lived, he died, he rose from the grave, and you don't understand where he is right now and what he's doing right now? Because if we start getting into this, we're gonna get stuck in Genesis 1:26. We're gonna get stuck in Revelation chapter 5. Because that's where we got to go. We're gonna have to go to Revelation chapter 5 to make a clarity on who you are to God. And then we're going to have to go to Genesis 1:26 and say why he even created you in the first place. Your salvation has to evolve into your kingdom citizenship. And until you become that, and I don't care if you're 80 years old, under the sound of my voice, listen, there's an 80-year-old under the sound of my voice. You're close to 80, 75, 70. I want you to understand that God can still use you. 60, 50, 40, God can still, 30, God can still use you. 10, if God has allowed you to go through the things that cause you to understand God. Now, I'm not going to dang you unless God tell me to, but I'm going to wait till you're 30. I'm going to wait till you're 30. I'm going to wait till you show where you are. in Christ. Because any devil can preach. Any devil can preach. Anybody, I can ordain Madonna right now, and Madonna will pack out my church. Do you hear me? Because church, we ain't got to ordain Madonna. We just put her on the choir. We put Madonna on the choir, and Madonna will pack out the church Sunday. All we have to do is say, Madonna is coming, and she's going to sing for us Amazing Grace. And we will pack out the church Sunday. Because they came to see Madonna. So many of us are coming to see the pastor. We're coming to see the government of the church, but we're not coming to see the government of God. And when you begin to operate in the government of God, it will change your entire perspective on why Jesus came in the very first place. So, to the people of God, I love you for real. I don't care what church you're in. I'll come to see your church. I don't have a problem with that. I come to teach the truth. How many pastors I preach to? How many pastors? Let God be true on this thing. You know how many pastors I've led to Christ? You know how many pastors I have led to Christ that did not know Jesus? How many emails I get and pastors that contact me because they didn't know what I'm talking about? And you know how many pastors write to me and say, I wanted to hate on you. I listened to your broadcast only to stop my people from listening to you.
Wow.
But when I listened to you, I knew you had a word from the Lord, and I know I need it. So to God be glorified. I thank God for you. Download this message. You go back on here in a few minutes, and you can download the word of God and let the Lord speak to you and deal with you on his word. I'm so sorry that the truth of the matter is that the biggest trick of the devil is religion. Because once he can trick you away from the kingdom of God, you can't fulfill your purpose. You cannot fulfill the very purpose that Jesus came, and the very purpose he came for is in Genesis 1:26. And if you are not doing that, you're off. So may God be glorified. May God be glorified. May God be glorified. I could do this all night long. So God bless you. Join us at faithambassadors.us, faithambassadors with an S. You can contact us there. And we'll be glad to help you in any way we can. God bless you. Looking forward to Thursday night, and we will continue on this very, very important introduction to the keys to the kingdom of God. Thank God for you listening to part five. God bless you. Tell somebody he is wonderful. Now put your preaching voice on and say he is wonderful. There are a lot of things I could not do for myself, but he did them for me. Tell somebody, he is wonderful. I brought my own shout with me. I just thought about it. I dare you to think about how wonderful he is. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Look at somebody, say the Everlasting Father. Somebody just holler, wonderful. I told y'all that was the word of the year. Look to your right and your left, say wonderful. May your week be wonderful. May the rest of your year be wonderful. May your whole life be wonderful.
point. But is there anybody that has proven himself to be wonderful to you? Just go to about three people and say, he is wonderful.
Breakthrough.